Home prices continue to rise a little.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. More retailers report some good numbers and a jobs bill that jumped one big political hurdle. All that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? The S&P pretty much flat right now. NASDAQ off about, a tenth of a percent, 3 points or so. The Dow now up 25 points at 10,408. European shares are trading a little lower right now. Stocks close mixed in Asia today. The bumpy housing market recovery continues with the Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index, the key housing indicator, made some modest gains for December, up slightly from the month before, but down 3% from December of 2008. Julie Neiman is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live this morning from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So only five of the top 20 markets saw declines, Julie, in home prices. Now, couple that with we got some decent numbers from Lowe's yesterday. Home Depot finally turning a profit. They reported that this morning. Are people buying and fixing up those houses again?
Well, these are all positive things. The first-time home buyer credit was a huge positive for this, and historically low interest rates are the other kicker, and that's why you're seeing the good numbers. The problem is both are going away this spring. Moreover, you've got more short sales and foreclosures on the horizon here. Home prices are likely to drop further. So if you're in the market for a new home right now, you might want to wait. Lower prices could more than offset the tax credit and higher market mortgage rates.
And earnings this morning, Julie, Sears Holdings said it had the best fourth quarter in 3 years. Sears, of course, the parent of Sears and Kmart, profits doubled there. Macy's reported better than expected profits and same-store sales growth there for the coming year. Sounds like people are getting back into the shopping mode, right?
Well, yes and no. We can't throw up too much confetti at this point. Are their old shopping habits returning? Well, they are for the middle and upper income. When you take a look at the folks who are shopping at Saks and Nordstrom's and Whole Foods, their earnings are all up because people are going back to their old shopping habits. You're not seeing a lot of people abandoning Target and Kohl's and TJ Maxx. The value shopper is still there, and some of the upper-end shoppers are still there, too. And a few people are upgrading to that level. But the problem is in the middle here. Sears and Macy's both reported good earnings, but it's bottom-line cost-cutting is what they're focusing on.
That's how
they're not
got
really
it.
Seeing top-line.
Very good, Julie. Joining us from St. Louis. Thanks.
You bet.
And we talked about Target and those in the middle. Target reported its fourth quarter profit up 54% today, benefiting from better than expected holiday sales and topping analyst expectations. Still more retailers report later in the week as well. As Marketplace's Jennifer Collins explains, chains such as Target have been doing some convincing to get customers back into their stores.
Remember this Target ad?
Expect more, pay less.
Retail consultant Bert Flickinger says Target now wants its customers to expect a lot more. Think Costco.
Target's trying to lower its price image by adding big bulk warehouse items.
Flickinger says the strategy may help, but Costco will probably remain the king of 36-pack toilet paper. He says stores have to push bargain items to bring in buyers. Take Saks Incorporated, which reports earnings tomorrow. Its high-end stores, Saks Fifth Avenue, have recently been promoting affordable brands from the likes of, say, Michael Kors. Daniel Butler is with the National Retail Federation.
Every retailer is looking at the consumer's perception that has evolved, and the consumer now is more focused on, is this product a good price for the value?
And he expects consumers to remain frugal for many more months. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
About one in five people in the American workforce didn't make enough money at work last month to make ends meet, or their work resources were reduced and job prospects bleak. That's according to a Gallup poll released this morning on the underemployed in the United States. Coming up, Congress is trying to change the jobs picture with a bill that's gotten a few surprise supporters. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2010, at marketplace.org. With the housing and job market still struggling, realtors are seeing more home buyers in search of a place for many generations to live together. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has that.
Let's call it the rise of the latchkey family. At Coldwell Banker, nearly half of realtors nationwide are seeing more customers in the market for homes for the newly extended family.
So either mom and dad coming to live in the house or maybe the teenagers coming back to live.
Researcher Diane Patton says this could help the move-up market, people looking to accommodate an aging relative with special health needs or an unemployed 20-something with special musical needs.
We have seen attic accommodations. We've seen the daylight basement, purchasing property where other family members can build on the same lot.
Many people can't afford to have a separate apartment.
Susan Newman is a social psychologist who's just written a book on multi-generational living.
If you're adding on an addition for your parents, you might want to let them contribute if they can so that they feel they own it.
Newman says that cost sharing can lead to smoother family relations under one roof. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There are more cancellations at European airports this morning. Just as pilots at German airline Lufthansa agreed to temporarily suspend a strike, crews at British Airways have voted to strike. And today, French air traffic controllers walked off the job. Christopher Worth has more.
All these strikes are related to one thing. Employees across Europe have grown worried about airlines cutting costs. Cost-cutting is also happening in the U.S., but Howard Wieldon of BGC Partners says that doesn't mean it will see the same repercussions.
And if anything, the U.S. airline industry is healthier now than it was a year or 18 months ago. The country as a whole, the economy is improving. There have been some mergers, and that has made a difference. So I think the worst for the moment is over in the U.S.
But Wieldon says airlines have a long road ahead, especially in Europe, where too many carriers will continue chasing too few customers. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
This week, the Air Force launches a competition to replace its fleet of aging air refueling tankers. The contract is big. It's worth at least $25 billion. Now, Boeing and Northrop have been dueling over it, and Northrop is threatening to pull out. Does it sound like a rerun? Brett Neely has more.
If this tanker contract were a TV show, it would be a soap opera. The Air Force awarded Boeing a contract almost 7 years ago, but then a corruption scandal shot down the deal. Then, Northrop Grumman and its European partner EADS won, but auditors said the competition was flawed. This time around, Northrop says the contract specifications are tilted against it. Defense analyst Richard Abulafia says the signs aren't good for Northrop.
This has been the most partisan defense contract in history, and their side of the competition is heavily Republican, and the Boeing side is heavily Democratic.
Northrop probably can't afford to pull out. The current tanker has been flying for 50 years, says Mark Gunzinger at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments.
If this one lasts another 50 years, that could be 50 years worth of contracts for sustainment, maintenance, and so forth.
Both companies have launched massive lobbying campaigns to convince lawmakers. But the Pentagon says, may the best plane win. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Well, the U.S. Senate's voted to advance a $15 billion job creation bill. It is a Democratic measure, yet five Republicans, including newly elected Scott Brown of Massachusetts, crossed the aisle to support it. Later today, the House Committee on Financial Services will hold a hearing on whether a new stimulus bill is needed to get people working again. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live from Philadelphia to talk about it. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Steve.
So if the Senate has already moved forward on this job creation bill, why is the House Committee on Financial Services hearing about whether more money is needed for jobs?
Well, I've been talking to some of the people who will be addressing the committee. They say that the jobs creation bill is a start. We'll get 100, 200,000 jobs out of it, but that government needs to be a lot more hands-on. I talked with Lawrence Mitchell of the Economic Institute.
We had the WPA in the 1930s, and I would suggest that we can do an effort again where the federal government provides money to, in fact, hire people directly.
So then Gregory Mitchell says it should work like the Works Progress Administration. Give me an idea what that means.
Well, he's basically saying that we can't rely on businesses alone to bring us out of this 10% unemployment. And he'll be asking the House committee to push stimulus money directly into government hires, people like school teachers and civil servants.
All right. Marketplace's Gregory Warner in Philadelphia this morning. Gregory, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, athletes at the Winter Games feel the high of winning and performing in front of the camera. Some spectators in Vancouver are just getting high. Marijuana business is booming, according to Canada's self-proclaimed Prince of Pot, Mark Emery. Emery's wanted here in the United States for selling pot seeds by mail to Americans. In Vancouver, though, shops openly sell those seeds, and police more than likely will turn a blind eye. Interest is so high that Emery said over the weekend he spent hours performing in front of some other cameras, people taking pictures with him and his bong. Hey, check us out online at marketplace.org. You can share your thoughts there and get the podcast online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.